Hello, it's The Whip Around with your hosts, Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space.
Where's...
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Dave DiIorio.
Don't you stop me.
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
And Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
This is a show about news, but we're going to talk about it in a way you're not expecting. We're going to take some current topics, flip them on their head, and examine them from angles that other people are too scared to talk about or, quite honestly, too ashamed to. So get ready for some foul language, get ready for some pop culture spoilers, and remember, nothing on the show is safe, nothing is sacred. Get ready. Here comes The Whip Around.
Oh, yeah, it's whip around time. Recording on fucking Labor Day.
Excellent.
Because it never stops down here in the basement level of our shit. I am Sean Hayes, and happy whip around day to you. And I am here with my buddy
Dave. I'm back. What's up, everybody?
And it does feel like it's been a while, Dave.
It does. It does. It really does.
And it's just us. Just broing out. Yeah, man. First things first, I want to remind everybody out there, if you haven't already, check out Dave's other show that he is doing, Podadelphia, which is on, what is it, on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else?
Google Play. We're on pretty much
all the
everywhere.
Good, all the good stuff.
All the good ones.
But it is a Philadelphia-based sports podcast with a couple of fun-loving goons. Old time buddies. What's going on in the show? I didn't get to listen this week. Can you give us a little snapshot of what people can expect?
Yeah, we release every Monday morning. So we released our third episode this morning because we're recording on Monday. And yeah, we talked. We got the Eagles season kicking off Thursday night. So we started with that. The Phillies are in a complete free fall right now. So we made sure we touched on that, and crowd favorite Chuck's penalty box is back again.
Yeah, baby.
Where we're setting our sights on some Philadelphia sports offenders. So it was really good. It was a fun episode. We got to talk some pop culture celebrity breakups, tween models that I was not really too knowledgeable about, but we got into it.
Philly sports edition of the E! True Hollywood Story.
You never know what we're going to get up to. On that show. So it was a good time.
And I knew about the Phillies game last week. I think I said something to you, like I guess the game against the Nationals ended in the Nationals' favor and it ended on an error. Was that happened, right? Someone mentioned that to me.
Yeah, that's, yep.
Did that come up on Podadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, you know, I only know about things now because people tell me like, hey, ask Dave about the Philly. I'm like, yeah, let me just go right ahead.
No, we got into all of it. It's
okay.
Just such, and I'm just trying to not bring that rage into our happy zone here.
Yeah, I actually, for anyone listening, Dave's elbows just crashed into the table. His hands are clutching. Check out Podadelphia. Subscribe. Rate it. Live it. Love it. Tell them Whip Around sent you. And I did an episode of Travis Bickle on the Riviera. Dave, if you have not, you should check it out. We watched a bunch of like 70s blaxploitation style films.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about this one. Yeah.
Sean Witzke's the main host I was talking to. Yeah, so we did Foxy Brown, we did Coffee, and we did this Switchblade Sisters movie.
My Halloween costume.
Yeah, dude. And it's gangland type stuff, but with like dangerous girls in the streets. Yeah, so it's very cool.
Is there any other kind?
Right. Pam Grier is the one in Coffee and Foxy right. Brown. So those were my particular favorites. But anyway, check that one out. Travis Bickle on the Riviera. And then I think the only thing we wanted to talk about before we tap into that rage that's still in there, I can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Was the contest. Do you want to say a couple words about our survey? Dealio.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, we've been floating around a survey on social media and just trying to get a take on, you know, what everybody wants us to be doing on the show. We want to make it something that you want to listen to. So it would really help us out if you just take a minute out of your time. I think it's a 10 question survey. Is it 10?
10.
I've been hearing the number 10 a lot.
It is a 10 based survey. It's a base 10.
And we're giving out $10 gift cards.
Yeah, three.
Ten
of them.
Three
of them.
Oh, it's three.
Three
okay.
of them. But oh, boy, I wish we were just rolling.
Multiply that by 10.
I
feel like I'm messing this up.
He wants to. No, he's going to double it. It's not the same thing. Dave did graduate from college. He did. It did happen. I think we had math together, so neither of us are qualified to try what we're doing right now.
All right. Let me start over. It's a 10-question survey.
Yeah.
That three $10 gift cards
right.
are up for grabs.
Word.
But if we get 25?
I'm not sure. I think Phil basically was like, if we get a lot, like if
okay,
we get a really
we
big.
We get a lot.
If he sees
Phil's going to double them and make them $20 gift cards.
Yeah. Three $20. We did it. Oh, we did it. So I think what we would be wise to do now, Dave, is make sure that the energy level is nice and high by moving into one of our classic favorite crowd pleaser segments. Are you ready to do a little of What Made Dave Angry This Week? Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one this week.
I am too. It's been a while.
So, dude, it's September, man.
Yeah, man.
We made it. We made it to the end of another summer season.
We did it.
Yep. And all of our favorites, the Starbucks, the Dunkin' Donuts, everyone's coming out with the pumpkin spice everything, right?
They are.
But that also means we're bringing out the people that are mad that pumpkin spice things are coming out on the market.
I'm really excited for where this is going.
Yeah. It's the same people that go, can we enjoy Thanksgiving before you start bringing out the Christmas decorations? Well, let me tell you something. I like pumpkin spice things. And if I want to drink pumpkin spice stuff in August, I'm going to friggin' do it. And if it pisses you off, well, that's too bad for you. Because I like pumpkin spice stuff, and if it's for sale, I'm going to buy it. I would drink it in July if they sold it in July.
Oh, yeah, I would too. So this is really based around this, wouldn't you say, the attitude that a lot of people have, which is like, I don't like that you're happy right now. Like, I don't
yes.
like it. Why are you happy? Why can't you just wait to be excited?
What does that have to do with you? But your regular coffee is still for sale.
Right.
You can just have your regular coffee.
This is enthusiasm censorship.
Yeah, why rain it on my parade?
Yeah.
Why rain it on my autumnal leaf-themed parade? And my jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree. Like, why is it that if Lowe's has out options to buy Halloween decorations at the very beginning of September, how is that interfering with your day at all?
What was there? What was there that's not there anymore that you wanted to buy? Like the 4th of July decorations?
Right. And yeah, I don't mean to like hijack your thing, but
no, jump in with me, man.
Because I get really upset about this too. Like when people say, now, I don't really do Facebook lately. I should probably start again because I like attention and I'm missing out on a whole avenue. But when people in like late November, people start saying things like, "All right, if people put anything up about Christmas before Thanksgiving, like I'm not even friend anymore." Like people lay down these ridiculous threats. To get very amped about, don't tell me that Christmas is coming. Like, if you have Christmas trauma, keep it to yourself. I'm sorry for your Christmas uncle touching, whatever happened. But don't get so upset. You're like threatening people because you're the problem. You're the person in the movie theater who someone whispers and you go, shh. Like, now you're the noise.
Yeah,
you're
these
the
two
noise.
Seasons, these two seasons are the shortest. Like, you don't get a fall season mm-mm, anymore. Mm-mm. It's hot all the way till November.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we're going into wintertime.
Yeah.
We're starting with the Christmas. So it's the only time you got to stretch this out as much as you can because fall is awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Fall's the best.
I agree. I fully agree.
Christmas time is the best.
I also
it's
agree.
Best two. It's number two best.
Right.
So why can't we like extend these periods of time if people want to enjoy them? I think people are nicer in the fall, and I think that they're nicer around Christmas anyway.
That's the nicest time of year. I think it has something to do with, A, the amazing flavors that are out there that a lot of people are happy, and I think, B, the weather lets you kind of do your layers. You can control better, you know, rather than having to, like, strip down to your nothing in the summer or bundle up because we live.
And you're not seeing nipples anywhere.
That's
anymore.
Right. I am guaranteed, nearly guaranteed to not. Yeah, I'm fully in support of this.
I just think if you see other people being happy and that makes you upset, you need some self-reflection. You got to work on you a little bit more. It's not the store's fault for selling fall-themed treats in August. That's not the problem. The problem is you and your black soulless heart that you want to see other people miserable all the time just like you are. So leave people alone. Let people enjoy their pumpkin spice coffee. Let people decorate their house for Christmas and leave the decorations up well into March. It's fine with me.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I like driving down the street and see the beautiful lights at night because it gets dark early so we can see some beautiful Christmas lights. Leave people alone. Worry about yourself.
Because it's beautiful. You know what?
I feel like I channeled like Michael Rapaport there for a second.
A little bit. Yeah, man. If you just had you in like the Bronx or wherever. Where does he tend to appear in his movies? He's always on a stoop. It's somewhere with his red hair.
He's a total stoop. Stoop dweller.
Yeah. So, yes, leave us alone. This has been a highly agreeable, in my opinion, but let us know what you think, too. TheWhipAround@gmail.com, what you think about Dave standing up for looking forward to shit. Who would have thought? Revolutionary. So this has been an optimistic, in a way, edition of What Made Dave Angry This Week? It's beautiful. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with something that is decidedly not very beautiful. You shall see. So spray yourself with some off, and we'll be right back.
Citronella.
Hey, Phil. What's up?
Chilling. Sup with you, bro?
Oh, man. Dude, I just got done with my morning vape.
Word.
Then I already booked my tickets for Coachella next year.
Tight.
And then I'm totally increasing my protein shake. I've upped it to 5 pounds.
5 pounds, bro?
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, I'm getting so swole, it's ridiculous.
You look swole.
Also, I'm on iTunes every day. Like rating, reviewing.
Oh.
And subscribing.
Word. Do the whip around?
Is there anything else to rate, review, subscribe? Hello, where have you been?
How much do you rate, bro?
5 stars.
Word. Of course.
Do you even rate? Sounds like you don't.
No,
you
I'm a poser. I got to leave now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Welcome back to the Whip Around. Dave. Everybody,
yes.
I don't want to alarm you. Not you, Dave.
Making me nervous already.
Not you, Dave. Not you, citizens out there. But we're under attack. We are besieged.
It's the mainstream media, isn't it?
We are, in a sense. We are under assault. We're being swarmed. Troubling tales of stinging insects are everywhere all of a sudden.
Oh, man.
Have you noticed this, Dave?
Well, it's summer, so yeah, I've noticed that happens.
I mean, all right, but let's see if this is normal summer or something a little extra. In fact, I have an idea. We're going to do a little differently with the dive here. I've got six, for Christ's sakes, bizarre stories.
A six-pack.
A six-pack. What do you call it? What do you when you have six legs? Sexapod? That's more like
a sexapod.
That's what we are, baby. Anyway, I've got six of these fucking things, and I thought we could harken back to what we did when we had the Center for Inquiry's Paul Fidalgo on, when we kept giving him storylines from the news and see how stressed out he would get.
Okay.
If we could sort of get
some backstory here. I don't, aside from the alien thing, which is not really applicable phobia to my day to day life.
Right.
I fear sort of flying animals.
Yeah.
And insects,
yeah.
But primarily ones that sting. So I don't like bees and wasps and hornets and all that stuff.
So Dave, this is definitely the episode for you because that is the bulk of what we've got.
Okay, great.
So, I mean, technically with the aliens thing, it all fits in a theme with Dave because it's things that fly, you know. Not,
the aliens don't fly.
But, I mean, the spaceship, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, the ship, they the come, craft.
Right. Although maybe they could fly, Dave. Maybe there are six-legged,
we don't know.
Winged, stinging aliens that'll just, well, anyway, I don't want Dave to quit the show, so I'll move on.
Doubling down on my imagination here. It's like,
yeah. So you let me know. No grades, okay. No numbers. I want to know how upset each one of these makes you from however you want to gauge it, a lowly shrug of the shoulders, you know what I mean? Is it meh? And an angry arm swinging around, panicked, running for the nearest door. Because you're not a fan of the flying, stinging critters. So let's use that. Are you ready?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, and I got shortened versions of each story. You know, there's plenty more. I'll put it all in the show notes. Let's just hear your upset level and then your reaction to each one of them. So not just how upset you are.
I'll give you some meat on the bone there.
Give me a snippet. Okay. Story number one, Dave. We're going to start a little easier. These are terrestrial.
Well, according to you.
Right. Ground-based problems this week.
Okay.
Scorpion Hill, India. This is a tale of Scorpion Hill.
That's a real place, or that's just what the locals call it?
That's the local name for something that I will not be trying to pronounce.
Okay, fair enough.
But let me try a few other issues here. Kandamai is the scorpion goddess.
Come to my house.
Kandamai, Scorpion Hill. I'll be getting stung. Kandamai is the scorpion goddess in the Indian state of Karnataka and the little village of Kandakur. Every August 15th, hence why this has come back into the news.
Okay.
Most of India around that time, I guess, celebrates, or a lot of it celebrates, something called Naga Panchami, the festival of the snake god, which for our Final Fantasy players out there, you've seen the Nagas. That's what that means. It means snake.
Yep.
Little nugget for you out there.
Isn't that Harry Potter too? Like Nagini or something? Isn't that Voldemort's?
Yeah, that's right.
Snake.
One of the Horcruxes. Yeah. Anyway, Naga Panchami, festival of the snake god. Okay, but in that particular village of Kandakur, they ain't doing that. Around that time, they worship this scorpion goddess Kandamai instead. And
oh, snap.
After they all trek up wherever they're going, not Scorpion Hill yet, but they go off to the statue of this goddess. They bow, scrape, worship, whatever. Offer.
Scrape, huh?
Well, you know, that's an old, you know, they're on their hands and knees. You know what I'm saying? They're genuflecting, whatever. After they do that, basically praying to this goddess to protect them, keep them safe and do whatever, they head off to this scorpion infested hill, aptly named Scorpion Hill.
Scorpion Hill. Okay.
No protective gear. They and this place is swarming. It's an unusual, you know, zoological event. This thing is infested with scorpions. So the men, the women, they go up. Even some of the teens, you know, pick scorpions up. No gloves, no nothing. They let them crawl over their skin. They hold them. They let them crawl into their mouths. It's supposed to be like the sort of boldest maneuver you can.
Yeah.
To prove that you have faith that Kandamai is protecting you, and they claim that no one has ever been stung, and people of course are like, that's bullshit, but
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
they then go on to claim, well, there have been no serious health issues. So Dave, what do you think going up to the Scorpion Hill, picking up these scorpions, letting them crawl all over your skin, letting them crawl into your mouth? What do you think?
You know what I think about scorpions? I feel like they're a lot less of a threat.
Okay.
Than the wasp. I feel like a ground-based stinging animal, I have a little bit more control. It's one less dimension of movement I have to worry about.
All right.
I don't have to worry about that Z axis.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, you do you. You know, do you. You want to go up there and put scorpions in your mouth. I mean, I'm not rolling with that.
It's an arachnid, so for me, you know, I'm out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Are they dangerous scorpions up there?
Well, I think it's supposed to be that they have a particularly sort of a wasp-like sting. It's not like those will kill you. But when you let it crawl in your mouth and have them all over you, you know, I think you're sort of tempting fate there.
That's aggressive. It's a little disturbing that people would want to do that, but I don't feel any sort of – I'm okay with that. That's a shoulder shrug from me. I'm good with that.
Dave is calm, cool, and collected.
I'm cool with scorpions.
Okay. Dave,
get over here.
Down with the scorpions, Mortal Kombat style. Okay, story number two, and this is getting a little more local, so let's see how you feel about this.
Closer to home. Okay.
Yeah. We've got a Northeast Philly insectarium theft, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
August 22nd, an unknown number of thieves believed to be current or former workers of the Philadelphia Insectarium and Butterfly Refuge, I think, stole over $40,000 worth of bugs and even a couple reptiles. But we're focusing on the bugs here. It's believed that all these things were stolen so they could be resold on the insectoid black market, I suppose.
That's a thing, huh?
Though two protective uniforms, two of their sort of overall-y whatever uniforms, were found on the premises impaled on the wall with knives. So somebody didn't just steal the insects.
They sent a message.
Yeah, they got their little suits and stabbed them to the wall. So who knows?
This job can shove it.
Right. Unless
the
it's some
insectarium.
Right.
Benefits are terrible.
We've been visited by the stabby bandits. And as a side note, a few creatures have been returned. That's really all I know about. I don't know who did it, including a fire legs tarantula, which also proves to us that they stole some creepy crawly.
Were they returned, or did the creatures find their way back home?
It says returned, but maybe there is another dimension to the story, Dave. But what do you think? Now there are just people going around. We've got, you know, unlicensed people in the Philadelphia area. There could be these things all over the place. Who knows?
You know what disturbs me about this story is it kind of makes me feel like it's the first scene in like a new Outbreak movie or
it's fair.
Something like that. Like, this is how the Africanized honeybee crossbred with the fire leg tarantula. Now we got flying, stinging tarantulas.
Spider wasps.
Thanks, Philly.
Yeah, there you go.
That again.
Yeah. Well, at least then, you know, maybe that's the Washington Redskins can have a new animal to change to their mascot and something a little less offensive.
Flying tarantula. So do we know, did the article point out any specific type of insect that was stolen?
Only in the sense that there was the fire legs tarantula was among what was stolen.
I'm just shocked that there's a market to resell these things.
Yes, not at my house.
Who's
there ain't
fencing insects?
I don't know, dude. I do not know. Maybe mad scientists? I don't know. I'll tell you this. Yeah. Here's the last interesting bit of the story is they asked, like, the guy, I guess, who's in charge of the place. You know, he was giving quotes for the interview. And they must have asked him, so what do you want to say to the people who took all this? And his comment was apparent. And they even said it in the articles that I checked that he was very enthusiastic, kind of in quote, that he was like, yeah, bring it back. How about that? So that's also very Philly. Yeah, bring them back. That's what I have to say. Bring them back. Bring them back, asshole.
This one's one tick up for me. Only because of the weird thing in the back of my mind that this could cause something not meant to happen in nature to happen.
The mad science angle.
Yeah, okay. However low that might be.
Okay. All right. Well, let's check this one then. This one, if you wanted to while you're over there, Dave, and for everybody out there who wants to sort of, if you have the chance, to do a Google image search.
Okay, I'm going to do it now.
This story is the Bee Man versus the Hornets of El Camino. In Alliance, Ohio, a bit southeast of Cleveland, this past month, August 2018, exterminator Travis Watson, self-proclaimed B-Man, is called out to get rid of a hornet's nest and found a floor-to-ceiling stalagmite in an old El Camino on someone's property. Nearly 1,000 European hornets swarmed out as he smoked the nest and broke it apart. And again, you've got to see this to fully grasp what's going on. This thing from the ceiling to the floor, it almost looks like there's a person in there sitting in the driver's seat, but it's all nest, baby. Pounds and pounds of honeycombed horror stuffed into multiple bags, all caught on video. And the video, which is attached to the article that I will put in the show notes, it sounds like this guy is on a spacewalk. It's quiet. You hear him breathing and the buzzing. You hear the tapping of hornets, like, pinging off of his face mask. The whooshing metal from the smoke gun he's using. The stingers must be impressive on these hornets because he has to, like, pluck them like little chiggers off of his safety gloves.
Oh,
like, he has to pull them off and sort of flick them away. And then, quote, how could your adrenaline not be pumping when you're doing something like this? He said of the experience. So, Dave, looking at the massive European hornet nest, what's your reaction?
So, how does a vehicle owner, how does this, something like this happen, this gets so out of control?
I don't know, man. I mean, it does look like it's sort of parked in the grass. I guess it's somebody's either project or sort of white trash abandoned vehicle situation.
Yeah. But it's so big and like right there in the driver. You're right. It does. It looks like someone was wrapped up in chewed up paper mache.
Exactly.
And mummified right there in the driver's seat. Man, yeah, I guess they were probably trying to get rid of this car. No one would take it with that with that thing going on in there.
It does drop the value a little.
Those what are they, hornets?
European hornets.
Man, they look nasty and big and mean.
The queen, so it says, is an inch and a half long.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the sight of a bee's nest or a wasp nest or a hornet's nest really disturbs me.
Yeah, I get the willies, man.
And I don't know. Did you ever see that thing on Facebook that was going around? That's like, does this picture like unnerve you? And they would show like a woman's breast, but they photoshopped like a bee honeycomb.
Oh yeah.
Over it and said that something was like laying eggs.
Yeah.
Whatever.
A pattern thing.
Yeah, it's the pattern. I think I have a problem with that honeycomb pattern.
I don't have that. I just hate these motherfuckers. But what is your level of disturbed?
High.
Okay.
It's hot. It's like, because that's like a POV video.
Yeah.
Of this guy getting rid of that nest.
Yep. At his first person.
And that made it extra unnerving.
Okay. Now, have you watched this with the sound yet?
No, I did it with the sound off. So
I can't wait for you to let me know what it was like with the sound on, with the buzzing and the puffing and his breath, like like he's out there in space. Dave's Dave right now is reaching back. He's sort of rubbing at the back of his neck. We got some furtive movements. How would you describe the upset level?
High. Like that's really disturbing. It's like I want to watch the video again, but I don't want to watch the video again. It's one of those things. I'm fascinated by it, but I'm repulsed by it at the same time. So I don't know. That one freaks me out a little bit.
Okay. Let's try this one. This one makes it sort of a little more individual. Okay. Story number four. Chrissy Teigen, wasp friend. We're familiar with Chrissy Teigen, right? The model. John Legend is her spouse. Yeah. July 26th. Sorry, it's a little dusty, this one. Fans of model Twitter star Chrissy Teigen saw her hanging out with her daughter in this Instagram, I think was where it went first, Twitter or Instagram video. I'll link it. She's playing with her daughter, Luna. And the first thing we see in this little video she posted was she's playing Chrissy Teigen, not the daughter, with this stinging predatory wasp crawling along her arm, just cooing at it as its wings are back, stinger micrometers from her skin, petting it, stroking this thing, saying, "Look, hey, look, Luna, look." Now, Teigen's a warm, fun person by all accounts, so the wasp did not sting her, but a lesson to everybody to maybe avoid petting and bonding with creatures that loathe your very existence. Despite concerns, by the way, that rose up upon the video first going up, that it was a powerfully venomous tarantula hawk wasp. That's what some people were telling her, like, you could have got killed. It turned out she was just making nice with a common asshole paper wasp. Asshole is my emphasis there. But Chrissy Teigen petting, cooing, touching, and otherwise playing with a paper wasp right there with her daughter. What do you think, Dave?
No. The wasp, to me, is the king of the terrifying stinging insects.
Yeah, they're assholes, man.
Yeah, they're like, especially when they're red and they got those like legs that hang down while they fly. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're sort of like, they almost curl down.
I feel like they're just looking for some shit to get into. Like, you know, your mom used to always tell you, leave the bees alone, they'll leave you alone. That's not true with a wasp.
No.
They'll come after you.
No. Especially if you blunder, they don't care. If you happen to be near their nest, they're furious.
Oh, yeah. You can't go. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know this was
your,
wood and spit encased domicile here. Like, I will slowly back away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can get some Windex or something.
I guess I can't use that door anymore because you decided that you have your little shit in the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. And they hide that shit. You know, sometimes you get a light fixture.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go up inside the light fixture and start doing their spit wood paper nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know it's there until it's too late.
Yeah. And then they're furious and don't listen to any protestation. And they like meat. So they're also – they're just mean. Like, they don't make honey. They make war.
Only good thing about them, though, is they are easier to kill.
Yeah,
it's just they're bigger, you know, and slower.
That's a good like movie line. It's just they're easier to kill. So
but I would never, if a wasp was on me, crawling on me, it would be my hair's on fire.
All right.
It would be, I'm screaming, I'm slapping my, I'm my arms and I'm running and I'm jumping in like a neighbor's pool.
All right.
Just turning the shower on again. Cause I don't want the, oh man. With the crawling on your own skin with the stinger that close.
Yeah, dude.
To piercing your fragile skin.
And what do you think as far as a father, how would you feel if this happened to you in front of the kids? See, for me, that adds another dimension to, like, if a spider landed on me, a big fat spider in front of my daughter, it's extra difficult in that scenario because I want to scream, you know, like a cheerleader in an 80s horror movie. But I can't, you know, you can't display that weakness in front of your kid. Wouldn't that add a dimension for you?
Yeah, it's true. I do play things a lot cooler with the bees and stuff when like, my kids are around.
You gotta like wait till you're.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. Nothing's gonna happen.
Until you're alone. All right, kids, get the fuck out of here.
But that, I think she was just trying to show her daughter, like, look how awesome these creatures are. I don't know. Well, that's not the lesson I would be trying to pass on.
There's a particular backfire for you. Like,
and it's like, this is war.
Yeah.
It's us versus nature sometimes.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, so
frontline soldiers, the wasp.
Yeah, they're fucking assholes. So story five, you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, this one has multi layers of why it would bother me. I don't know how it's going to affect you. August 28th, Times Square, New York, friggin' New York, sprawling metropolis here. Over the course of an hour on this past Tuesday, hundreds, thousands of bees became the sole customers at a Sabret, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but, you know, one of those classic quintessential sidewalk hot dog stands. Okay, they just descended on this stand and just swarmed it. The weight of the swarm of bees was enough to sag the umbrella on the cart, because that's where they collected, was on this colorful umbrella. They were just like wads and wads of bees and bees and more bees and more bees. Passersby went scrambling away till the NYPD sent one of its own beekeepers, because they have on staff their own beekeepers, to vacuum up and later release those bees. Now, here's the part that you'll like, Dave. Evidently, this was the third event of its kind in the area of New York in recent days. And the frequency is likely due, at least in part, according to the experts here, the NYPD beekeepers, the growing number of citizens who keep bees on their own up on the rooftops of New York. Here's a quote for you. There are beehives within one block of here. In fact, there are at least a dozen hives within a block of here, Mr. Andrew Cote, a local beekeeper, said as he watched events unfold.
Here's my take on this. When I'm walking through a city that I'm not expecting to find to stumble upon a swarm of bees.
Right. Yeah.
Like if I'm in the woods, you know, I might be on a little bit higher alert looking up in the trees.
Sure, yeah.
Is there a hive around here?
A picnic out in the countryside, you know.
Yeah. But when you're just walking down Fifth Street.
Times Square.
Yeah. Where would a bee decide to make a hive in like such a concrete jungle?
Lucky for them, people are letting it happen.
So these people that are putting beehives on their roofs. Okay, I get that bees are a very necessary part of our ecosystem and we need to save the bees. That's the thing, right? Save the bees.
I believe so.
You got neighbors, man.
Apparently, too. Evidently that, you know, we have a problem. Like, how do you avoid saying, like, okay, we need some controls on this. Maybe an intelligence test for people who want to keep bees. A dozen nests within a block of any part of Times Square.
Is it legal?
Evidently it is, because NYPD was like, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, even if it's not, which I believe it is, you know, in New York City, people, you know, the cops are probably like, yeah, we'll check the beehive thing as soon as we stop, you know, getting people groping, murdering, slashing, destroying.
I guess so, but.
If you see a buzz, if you hear a buzz, say something. So how disturbed does that make you, Dave? How?
This one's for some reason, I guess it's below the Wasp story, okay. Only because they're not really on you. You're kind of in an open space. You're not getting a surprise attack. I mean, it is kind of a surprise, but I don't know. This one, the more open air makes me feel better about this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd feel differently maybe if you were like, well, as a hot dog vendor, now I feel under fire.
Well, because I guess there's not really much that would attract them elsewhere in the air. So there's something about the hot dog stand that...
Yeah, I don't know. You know, hey, Dave, first they came for the hot dog vendors and I said nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Shall we move on to my final disturbing story? All right. Now, I'm going to post a very important image of this. But until I do, Dave, for story six, here is an image for you.
Whoa. What is that?
Meet Calistoga crassicaudata, the new parasitic wasp with a massive stinger slash ovipositor. I realize everybody should check this photo out in the show notes, but I realize, Dave, what you're looking at looks like something out of, like, Playgirl magazine for bees and bee lovers. But it is a gargantuan stinger slash ovipositor. Never a good word to hear. But yeah, I'll throw a link up to check it out on the show notes. But look at that thing. Scientists unveiled its existence in a recent issue of Zootaxa. If you didn't already, you know, maybe you're backed up on your Zootaxa reading. And while it's tiny, this little bugger shows us that, we're still discovering nightmare cool species of insects. B, pound for pound, these bugs don't have to feel insecure about anything. And C, evolution can be a mean bitch. You see, that huge, huge stinger ovipositor that looks like a middle school doodle, it can spear into spiders or other prey, lay a bunch of eggs in there, whereupon a little bit later, the victim literally explodes as wasp babies burst through into the outside world. So how do you like that shit, Dave? What do you think? Calistoga crassicaudata.
Where can we find one of these in the wild?
Oh, well, where
and
else?
Not one of these was stolen from the Philadelphia.
I don't know. I can't guarantee that it's not, Dave. You know, as usual, it's. I got to advise you against taking a trip to the Amazon.
Okay.
That is where you will find Calistoga and plenty of other charming species. Or an insectarium. I don't know. But what do you think? What do you think, and how disturbing is that?
You know, it looks, and you have to see a picture of it for it to do it justice, but it looks too comically long of a stinger.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Like, I don't know. It's almost like it's sort of like that.
Ladies.
Yeah, it's like, that's fake. Get out of here with that wasp. And it's
Bee boogie nights? Boogie bee nights? I'll
yeah,
see myself
I can't
out.
Take this wasp too seriously. I might change my mind if I saw it in person.
I think they're tiny though too.
More free. They're tiny.
I think they're pretty small.
Yeah, so I'm okay with this little guy.
All right, and your reaction is just giggles, I guess, right? Like
kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dirk.
It's like, do you even know how to use that thing?
It's not the size of this ovipositor. It's the motion of the eggs that explode.
But that is creepy as shit, though. Like,
yes.
The stabbing of another
deep
animal.
Deep into the flesh and just blah, 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 and then exploding, just a shower of larvae coming out. In fact, you know, there's another one I saw, just a little bonus one for you, Dave, where there is a different kind of wasp that it's like shiny black carapace, whatever you call it, the exoskeleton. Yeah. It usually lays its eggs in caterpillars, and then the babies burst out glistening black things from the chest area. So they named it after the xenomorph. Like, it's like the something something xenomorph.
That's awesome.
Because these black bugs explode out of the chest. So these are just really charming. I think they're in the Amazon too. So basically, wasps. There is just zero evidence that wasps aren't the absolute worst pieces of shit on the planet.
Oh, yeah, man. I hate. So what do they do? They don't do anything for you, do they?
They act like assholes every step of the way.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no – it's like a tick, right? Like there's no –
They give us
the benefit?
Nothing, no. I mean, okay. Apparently they thin out species of other insects, but that's a swallow the spider to, you know, to eat the fly thing. Like, well,
now I got a wasp.
Yeah. So thanks for nothing.
Fat wasp.
These things are terrible. So I – okay, I have a final question before we shift to your focus where you went, Dave.
Okay.
What do you think now? The fact that all these stories are going on within the past month or two – most of them within the past fucking week or two, is something weird? Is it a coincidence? Are you freaked out at all? What's going on?
I mean, I'm not actively freaked out. I think that...
Should I ask maybe, QAnon maybe, about this?
Maybe there is something weird going on. But you know what's weird?
It's chemtrails.
Like, I feel like I haven't seen much, any wasps near me lately, like around my house this summer.
Maybe you're in the eye of a storm, Dave.
I could be. I could be. I've been seeing a lot of wood bees lately, though.
I've been seeing lots of wood bees, brothers, sisters.
I have been seeing them.
I've been being
a lot
seeing.
Lately. I've been seeing the sawdust.
Okay. Yeah, that's a terrible sign.
Stuff. I don't think they stink.
Ah, I'm glad you brought that up. But hold that thought, because before I respond about the stingy, Dave, I've got to know. Because I want to talk stinging to you. Don't you look it up. Don't you look it up.
I'm not. I'm bringing up my article.
Yeah, tell me where this all, because I, you know, we talked about insects. It was basically all the lead in you had that, you know, some stories are out there. I don't think you knew the depths to which I would be able to go. But where did this send your mind?
Well, I saw an article recently that the eastern seaboard is getting plagued by sea lice. So you go in the ocean,
so gross.
And you get these sea lice trapped underneath your bathing suits and other snug-fitting clothing. But they aren't actually insects. I got tricked.
What?
It's even worse. They're not insects. They're jellyfish larvae.
Oh, God. What?
The ocean is just teeming with jellyfish larvae, and they get your bathing suit, and it agitates them. So they start releasing all their, like, stinging poisons.
What a bunch of pricks.
And you start, like, jumping out of there like you're on fire or something. And I'm seeing pictures online. I've been seeing pictures online. Of people. Man, they look like they're getting torn up. It's really simple to get them off of you. You just have to rinse yourself off with fresh water.
Well, yeah,
apparently.
But if you're down at the beach, you don't always have like your hose all the way down from the hotel or whatever, you know, to like spray off.
You're like, Sean, pee on me, man. We gotta get this. Gotta get these sea lice off of me.
I thought you'd never
so
ask.
I tell you, man, natural bodies of water are full of nasty, terrifying things.
They're bad. They started life, but now they seem to be messing with us.
Yeah, between brain-eating amoebas in the fresh lakes and everything, and now we got jellyfish larvae getting caught in your underwear.
Which I'm pissed off. I don't mean to be unscientific here, but I'm pissed off that jellyfish have larvae. You're squishy little creatures. Shouldn't you just divide and just have two of you now? And that would happen, and, you know, come on. You got to have creepy little larvae just exploding into the oceans. You know what we should do? Send some wasps in there. To pick some of them off, you need to get little helmets for the wasps. Let them go in there and jab these bastards. Sea wasps.
The wasps versus the jellyfish.
Yeah, dude. That's the new Sharknado trend.
But however, at least we kept the stinging theme going with the
we
jellyfish.
We did. Well done. So I can still segue because, number one, Dave, I think we need to have some fun to get your, and really my as well, mind off of this stingy awfulness. But number two, we got to do it on brand. We got to do it on theme. So I've got a game. Are you ready to play something special?
Yes, a game.
All right. I call this one...
Special game.
The Schmidt Pain Scale Edition of Truth or Bullshit. We're going to roll with this game.
That sounds horrible.
It absolutely
doesn't sound fun at all.
It's a horrible kind of fun. And that's, again, on brand for us. So let me give you just a tiny bit of background on this. Are you familiar with the Schmidt pain scale?
No.
Or like pain, whatever you want to call it? Okay. So
familiar with pain.
Okay. For decades, Justin Schmidt, who's an entomologist working at Arizona University, has used his own body as a, well, not a punching bag, but like a biting and stinging bag for pain-inducing bugs. Over the years, he's tested and cataloged the pain types and pain levels of at least 78 species of stinging and or biting insect and compiled an exhaustive descriptive list widely known in the entomology circles as the Schmidt Pain Index or Pain Scale. And it measures this, and maybe you've seen or heard a little bit of this from time to time, measures how much those fucking things hurt with the ratings from 1, which is really not so bad, all the way up to 4, which is like kill me now type of pain.
So is this like when the nurse shows the picture of all the faces to my kid and go like, how bad does it hurt? Pick the face.
She could be showing stings. One. Gotcha. And he does like point two and point this for some of them too. But once you get to 4, the worst is just like 4+. He also happens to be like a really funny, witty brand of masochist. So he appended little helpful descriptions with each of the ratings of the pain, all right?
Just
to, so that you know what you're in for. And as an example of the bald-faced hornet's sting, which hits the pain scale at a respectable 2.0, Schmidt wrote that it feels, quote, rich, hearty, slightly crunchy, similar to getting your hand mashed in a revolving door.
Uh-huh.
So what we're going to do, Dave, because he's got plenty more where that came from, is have you listen to other descriptions that I'll give you of real insect sting ratings that he suffered for us and determine whether the description I give you is something he really wrote or some bullshit I invented myself. So I'll give you the bug and the number he gave, but the description, that's where it gets tricky.
So the bug and the number are real.
Mm-hmm.
The description is either real or bullshit.
Truth or bullshit. And play along at home. But if you opt to get stung to check out the ratings, be sure to jot down your own descriptions out there and send them on in to thewhiparound@gmail.com. Dave, are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Number 1. You better not. No cheating now. No peeking.
I'm looking at bald-faced hornet's nests now, and I'm getting really creeped out.
Number 1. The sweat bee. 1.0. Light. Ephemeral. Almost fruity. A tiny spark has singed a single hair on your arm. Truth or bullshit?
I didn't know sweat bees could sting, first off. I don't really have much to go on here, so I'm just going to go on like Sean psychology to see if you would try to trick me with this one or leave it to be real. I think that one's real.
It is. Very well done, David. Totally real. Let me get Desi involved here because what the hell. Okay, number 2. Round 2. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The yellow jacket.
Okay.
2.0. Hot and smoky. Almost irreverent. Imagine W.C. Fields extinguishing a cigar on your tongue.
Wow, that visual seems really aggressive for a 2. I'm going bullshit.
It is true. It is true. Yellow jacket and a 2.
He invoked W.C. Fields.
He did. Hey, chickadee, sting the shit out of my tongue. Apologies to everyone involved for that that terrible impression. All right, so Dave's got 1. Round 3. The fire ant, a 1.2. A light, eye-opening sizzle. You've spilled fresh coffee on your hands. The fire ant.
Well, that seems less descriptive than the others, so I guess I'll go bullshit again.
Yes, you caught me, Dave. You caught me slipping on the fire ant. 1.2. So here, I'll let you know what he really said. Sharp, mildly alarming, like walking across a shag carpet and reaching for the light switch. Is a fire ant.
This guy is great.
I know, he's amazing. We should get him on the show. Sting us or something. Okay, Dave's got 2. He recognized a truth. He recognized the bullshit. But let's see how he does as we move on. Round 4. And we're doing 8 of these, by the way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The honeybee. 2.0. The sensation is like a match head that flips off and burns your skin. Truth or bullshit?
I'll go bullshit again.
It is true. He really did
okay.
say
he went
that
short
one.
With that one. Okay.
Yeah. This game gets tough. Psychologically complex. All right. Round five, and let's kick the pain level on this one way up, all right? The tarantula hawk wasp. 4.0.
Okay. Wow. 4.0. All right, it's for real.
The mind reels. Surgery is underway with no anesthetic. Time slows to a crawl.
I'll go true.
It is false!
Damn it!
Aha! I got more detailed. Somebody was getting better at this. All right. All right. Dave's got two. So, Dave, I don't know. I was going to say.
That thing looks fucking terrifying, though.
I know. Maybe you're being distracted by looking at these nightmares. Here we go. Round six. The red harvester ant. 3.0.
Wow.
Bold and unrelenting. Somebody is using a drill to excavate your ingrown toenail.
Please let that be true.
It absolutely is true. And that is really creative shit. That is really creative. Like, ow, drill, toenail, ingrown, oh yeah. Okay, all right, so Dave's got himself 3 points. Hopefully you can get at least a 4.0, so maybe you can have a heavy sting and the rest of that reference. Okay, here we go. Level seven, round seven. The giant African millipede. 3.2.
Bright. Oh, yeah, I have seen pictures of those.
Bright and blistering. The hand is peeled and plunged into a hard-boiling bath. 3.2.
Hand is peeled and plunged. Let's go true with that one again.
Oh, Dave, it's false. It is false. In fact, I did. That's a little bit of a trick question. Because the giant African millipede looks like a mean bastard, totally harmless. Totally harmless.
No shit.
Not a bitey stingy.
So he did not rate that insect.
He did not. That was me being an asshole.
Oh,
that was just me.
Good on you. Good on you.
So mea stinga culpa, Dave. That's just me. That's just some of the fun you can have with stingy insects. So final round.
If I was smarter, I would have caught that right away. Huh?
If I was smarter, we would have a Patreon. So... we have our final round. You could still get a 4.0. You could still have the heaviest sting in your score. That's the real goal here. The bullet ant. The bullet ant. 4+. The single most damaging rating that he can give. Like firewalking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch rusty nail grinding into your heel.
Would you let this thing bite his foot?
I mean, I don't think he had the one bite his tongue, so I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's true.
Firewalking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch rusty nail.
Well, I hope he saved some of his best material for the most painful, so I'll just go true with this one.
It is! It is! It's true! Congratulations, Dave, with a 4.0 sting level. I would put you right there at the level of the tarantula hawk. You know, next time we'll aim for the bullet ant. But a 4.0 for Dave, that's a very respectable, you know, sifting through truth and bullshit, Dave. That's pretty good. Yep. That is a respectable reaction to the onslaught of bullshit I just leveled at you. Let us know how you scored out there. Or, hey, if you've ever been stung, bitten, or tongue burned by any of these guys, why don't you let us know? Write in. Say what you think. Or contact us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or what have you. Okay, so we will be right back. Look out. These things could be near you and biting. Who knows? See you soon.
Hey, it's Phil. I know, I'm not here this episode, but you are. So where the hell are you going? They're coming back right now. Don't move! They're back! Shh!
Welcome back. I hope we haven't given you the creepy crawly skin feeling too badly. But even if we did, we're about to set you loose on the world. You can go and twitch your way through your life, looking over your shoulder and listening for the telltale buzzing sounds of something awful ready to drive a 3-inch rusty nail wherever or however that can happen. So it is Act 3, and that means there is really only one thing left for us to do, and that is 3 for the Road, that time of the show where we talk about those things we didn't have time to talk about during the main segment or didn't fit in with the theme of the main segment, and we each get 3 turns, 30 seconds apiece. Once we are done with that 30 seconds, we'll hear something a bit like this. Which is Desi the Decibel telling us that time is up. It's time to move on to the next person. And as I said, once we each go three times, that's it. That's the show. It'll be on to us going off into other adventures. And we'll just have to see you and talk to you in a week. So Dave has graciously agreed to go first. So Dave, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Dave, are you set?
Yes, I am set.
Dave, are you go?
Okay. Football season is upon us this week. And you know what that means? That means every week, half of the cities that play football on Monday are going to get free coffee from Dunkin' Donuts one way or another. Or maybe it's down to $1 a cup of coffee now if your team wins. Mm-hmm. But there is one Dunkin' Donuts shop in New England that actually received their order of Eagles cups.
Oh, no.
Adding insult to injury there. So fans are none too pleased to hear about their Dunkin' Donuts receiving Eagles, especially since Dunkin' Donuts is headquartered in New England.
Yikes.
So a little faux pas there from the Dunkin' crew.
Okay. Got some ice machine news. Ice machine news, everybody. The Opal, a crowd-funded invention now in mass production, crafts artisan ice. Delectable, chewable ice produced by the highly priced device as it, quote, scrapes flakes away from the inside of a chilled stainless steel cylinder and extrudes a bunch of chewable ice nuggets through a round hole. Reviewers are uniform in expressing how awesome this thing is, noting that its, quote, seeming ability to chill beverage quicker than conventional ice and absorb their flavor in the process make it a great purchase. And at $550, I just have one question. What the fuck? Lower that shit and give me some ice nuggets where I crack my teeth on peasant ice.
All right. Weird stuff always happens in Florida. And this week, a man was arrested and charged with battery for giving his girlfriend a wet willy. That's right.
Holy shit.
Lick your finger and stick it in someone's ear, and now they're going to call the cops on you.
You're busted.
He was also drunk and belligerent. And gave her the wet willy, like, pretty much the whole ride home. The victim's daughter verified her account of the wet willy incident. So, yikes. Florida, man, the land of the strange.
Yeah, I'll say. Okay, new religious typology announcement. Pew Research has just unveiled a fantastic new way to look at Americans' attitudes about faith, religion, and secularism. Rather than lay out the usual hyper-divided-by-sect breakdown, researchers use questions about faith, fulfillment, and attitudes about those ideas to break people into seven nearly evenly populated types, from the most religious sorts dubbed the Sunday stalwarts, to the middle ground relaxed, religious, and spiritually awake, to the secular haven of religious resistors and solidly secular. Again, the major types are nearly evenly populated, so you're not alone out there.
Wow. Interesting. Hey, have you bought a box of Barnum & Bailey animal crackers lately?
I think it's obvious that I have not.
Okay, because they changed the box. You know, the red box?
And ew, really?
Yeah, the four animals, and they were, like, in their cages.
Yeah.
And it looked like a train car.
Yeah.
Well, they changed the box now because we can't have the animals in cages anymore. So the box now displays the animals standing together. Unified in an open field, so we are not oppressing our animal cohabitants on this planet anymore.
The hippies have won, haven't they?
They have. They sure have.
All right, Dave, I kind of lied to you. One last bug tale. Not done yet. Moscow-based beauty parlor, Nail Sunny Beauty Salon, is in the middle of a mini, thank you, mini controversy for another in a line of attention-grabbing Instagram posts. This most recent one featured multiple models with hollow acrylic nails, inside of which scrambled and scurried large black ants. Additional videos were posted showing the models freeing their tiny beauty prisoners from their cosmetic cages, but this did little to silence angry internet haters who accused the parlor of outright animal abuse. Can you believe it, Dave?
Oh, my God.
The cruelty.
Why?
The horror.
Why?
The horror.
Why would you want to do that?
Get these people some animal crackers.
It's fucking weird.
Is that it?
I think that's a show.
Did
right
we just
there.
Do a show?
Yeah, we did a show.
How about that? You and I, we failed to fuck up the whole show.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, unchecked, Dave and Sean, unleashed, unfettered, unstung, too. Hey, we got through a whole episode about getting stung. With nary a sting, Dave. So congrats to both of us.
Yes.
This has been an amazing episode of The Whip Around. I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm a little heebie-jeebied. Just listen to all the creepy, stingy insects. There was still a spider reference in there, so I punished myself as well. But thank you for downloading. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, check us out online, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and what have you. We will talk to you next week. Don't forget to do a survey. It'll be the first link in the show notes. 10 clicks for 10 bucks. And if you do it, it'll be 10 clicks for 20 bucks. Holy cow, for three of you lucky citizens. Off you go and do that. Watch out for those bugs. And until next time, we love you. Buzz.
I was going to say it's the best we ever did it, guys.
There's no corniness on this show.
Oh, that's the stinger right there.
Oh, wow.
Let people decorate their house for Christmas and leave the decorations up well into March. It's fine with me.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.